turn your Bibles to a very famous Psalms. I think a psalm that most of us, when we were kids to now, really would have memorized. Eh? Absolutely. it is, isn't it? It is so interesting that such a psalm never goes past us. But this psalm is a psalm that has spoken to so many hearts, encouraged so many people, but not let alone that, it kept people in faith and truth and alive. I think it's such an encouraging psalm. So, before I digress too much, this was a psalm that I must say, as much as I knew all that, when I was sick, I was really, this was the psalm that spoke to me. This was the psalm that kept me going day after day in a hospital. I have said this before, and I will say it again. This was the psalm that I never really ventured beyond three verses. I only stayed in the first few verses because really I couldn't. I slept after that. So it really did speak so strongly. But it also gave, as a testimony, it gave that impetus to speak to people who the Lord is. It encouraged me so much that really, I'm not one who would go around boldly and speaking to people, but in that bed for 6 months, I was able to speak without worry, without concern, but boldness. Where did that come from? From this time. I really thought about it, and I said I must do some study on this. It has taken me this length of time to get there. But I, as I said, have decided only to do two verses. Psalm 23, 1 and 2. So if you look at this psalm, it is a psalm that encompasses every aspect of our faith. It nails the truth on the cross. It lays our complete trust on one truth, one God, one life. That's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have drawn us here this night, every one of us, for your purpose, to hear this word that you have put in my heart. Lord, may I, Lord, listen, hear, and allow you to work through me, Lord, as I speak, that it is you who desire to speak to every heart. As we commit this night to you, Lord, may you have your will and way with us, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalm 23, the first two verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Beside these still waters. So as I've said before, this is a psalm. I thought when I was reading it I decided that the first part I'm going to do this time is the believer's recognition and acknowledgement of God. David, how he first spoke to the Lord through this psalm. So a brief background on this Psalm 23. In my reading and study, I asked myself, a young kid in the field write a psalm like this? Seriously. You know, he was in his youth, it said. I looked around and I found some commentators suggesting that it might be It might have been unlikely David was a young shepherd boy in a field looking after the sheep. This is what you get when you read this. Whilst they might have a plausible suggestion, he can't possibly be a young man. We also know that this young shepherd boy took on the lion and the bear, don't we? When they were after his sheep that he was looking after. And following these events, what happened? He battled against Goliath. The way David expresses his faith in the living God was quite remarkable, given his youth. In Samuel, I would say what actually happened. In Samuel, David gives this, his credentials. In Samuel 1:17-36, I'll just read his credentials here. Thy servant slew, he's telling Saul, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defiled the armies of the living God. That's what he's saying. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. What is important here is David was really so confident that he had the Lord, his relationship with the Lord. And he said, this Philistine can speak against our God? Who is he? And to say that whether he's got the credentials or not, he knew he had the credentials. So, why am I giving you this background of David? Is it that important? This is to reiterate that this young man, David, had begun learning the skills of looking after the sheep first. That was why he was sent to look after the sheep. At a very early age, and it appears he had a compassionate attitude towards his sheep, especially. When we are reading the psalm, that's what he had. A compassionate attitude towards the sheep. If you think about it, this psalm addresses some very profound thoughts of how he had the presence of God and how he acknowledged his difficulties and facing challenges in life with others, and finally concludes the deep assurance that his future is in the Lord only. No doubt he was a man with challenges, as we know his life shows that. He had to contend life, like all of us. However, my study did not give a lot of background to the state of mind he could have been, or the type of problems he could have been facing at the time of his writing. Whilst it would have been nice to speculate, we are unlikely to get far with the absolute clear answer to that. There are many opinions out there, but for our purpose, without losing the essence of what he is saying, it gives a great insight to his relationship with the Lord. I like us to just ponder and look at this psalm as David did. Then try placing oneself in that position. The Lord is my shepherd. He says that David addresses the position of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Likened to his own role as a shepherd boy who knew his responsibility. David as a shepherd was the leader, right? Of the sheep. Or the manager of the flock entrusted to him. What kind of a shepherd was he? Responsible, committed in looking after his sheep, even with his life. As I had mentioned before, he was willing to fight the lion and the bear to protect his sheep. Dedicated he was, loyal and faithful to do the best of his ability in keeping the flock. So this acknowledgement of God being his shepherd was not by a by and by statement, but a well-considered position, given he had a good appreciation and understanding of that role of a shepherd. Many times we have seen in the Bible God uses shepherds to represent the value of training and commitment. Like in the case of Abel, Moses, and here David, for a higher order. Sometimes one may casually say, what is the big deal looking after the herd? It's only in the field, you know. And like all work, not just about the field and the shepherd being in the field, like all work, when we have a right dedicated attitude, and the whole thing takes that attitude of, like David, it takes a whole different attitude, places in a different area, at a higher level. On the flip side to things, even in the farming fraternity, I was thinking about this. In the farming area, we could get harsh, cruel group of people having to work there, don't we? In any work life, but even in the farming community with the sheep. Their dedication is not up to the mark, displaying cruelty, unkindness of these flocks. And what does it actually happen? Results in poor yielding, generally, doesn't it? You know, this is not some secular thought. This is true, as it is today. Coming back to the point, without digressing too much, of the herdsmen, who are generally known to manage their flock according to their stock, well and skillfully. Just one point of difference between I just thought this was interesting when I was reading this. The difference between a cattle and a sheep. You know, it was, I thought it was interesting, and so I thought I should mention that. Cattle are driven. I never saw that, actually, to be honest. You're from the farm as well, you know. The cattle are driven, but sheep are led. As one commentator observed, I must confess, this is quite fascinating to me anyway. I'm no agricultural man, so it is quite obvious. The fact remains that sheep's complete reliance and trust is on the shepherd when he's being led. So he takes his responsibility as a leader, completely caring for his flock. A very serious position, and he knew it, David. As for the cattle, being led, will be using his skill. The cattle, the person who is actually driving the cattle, will use his skill. And will be using different techniques and strategies to deliver the right results, nevertheless, for good productivity. So the whole point I make here is the dedication and the commitment is the key here. Now coming back to the passage, and to keep it in context, when David penned this psalm, he was talking from the position of what? A sheep, not a shepherd. Right? Most of us will agree with that. The Lord is my shepherd. He's speaking from the sheep point of view. So reading this passage from the position of the sheep, David knew how valuable his position was. Similarly, he was able to appreciate and reflecting his complete trust in God the Father. Can I implore you personally here, as this is very important, when you have a moment, meditate what that means to you personally. Because I was thinking about that. It is significant. This psalm takes us into so many intricacies that it is so very refreshing looking on our position as a believer and our dependence on our God, our Redeemer. This can be so very compelling, as I cannot reiterate enough, in the realization or in the conviction of that truth. Only you can. The second point David declares is that this shepherd takes complete control for the care and life of his sheep. We see Jesus expressing his views where? John 10, isn't it? We can see that. A well-known passage, and we are very familiar. So I would ask you to turn to John chapter 10. There's a few verses we can jump around in that chapter itself. So John chapter 10. Verse 14 to start with. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. And verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. So here is the qualification of the shepherd. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So if you look at that, these verses depict the relationship of the sheep, the relationship of the sheep with the shepherd. Look at the kind of relationship this is. The closeness to lay his life for the sheep. He says, I am the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is Jesus, right? Which we can really relate to. If you just go down to verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He is talking about this is an intimate relationship he has. He says, the sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is Jesus talking. This is in verse, I was looking at that, and I looked at verse 3 as well, and in here he says, to him that porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So it is that closeness he's talking about, the sheep. So I ask though, is this how we know Jesus? He knows me, he knows you by name to that extent in every aspect of our life. Then I look at the clinching one is, it's a pun anyway, 10:28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck, that is, snatch away them out of my hand. So you could see the closeness and the desire that they can never be plucked out of his hand. That he has kept them in the palm of his hand. That's what it is. If you think when we say, just let me digress a little bit. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd, that means we are in his hand. In the palm of his hand. You're never out. You know, this is eternal security, eh? This is it. So, but every now and again, we want to come out, don't we? Really? We get smacked. But we do. But you're never let down. He will keep you. I think that was such a reassurance for me that I'm never out. I'm under His protection all times, how difficult things are. Yeah, in the palm of His hand. It is so profound, I tell you, it is so profound, that statement. You'll be never snatched away. That is Jesus' words. So it is interesting, as I decided to continue to read on with some Bible commentators at this time, and he says, you know, it's interesting. At the Bible times, apparently, these Eastern shepherds knew their sheep by name and called them by their name. And they will come, apparently. The sheep we kept, you know, these sheep that they kept were not just for food, but for wool, for milk, and reproduction. You see, this might be difficult for us Australians and Asians here, you know, and how we see it in our present climate. However, the value that is placed on this sheep by David and Jesus emphasizes and gives us a true appreciation and understanding of the significance of the sheep. So from this we can see how substantial value has been placed on this sheep. In John 10:29, he says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out or snatch them out of my Father's hand." So, to finish the point, this is no doubt the sheep itself is in total trust, follows the sheep, and his word or instructions or directions. That's what the sheep does, is follow. We can never go wrong. It is perfect in every way, whichever way that is. However, this level of trust and belief can only come when we are able to hear and be convicted in our heart and know it is true. So the power of His word has such a great impact on us. The power, as you were saying today, the dunamis, the power of His word has got such a great impact on us. So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," David essentially confesses, "I've submitted my life to you. You are in charge of my life." What a wonderful assurance for us as a believer when we declare, "The Lord is my shepherd." So, essentially what I say on the first part of the verse is the impression, and these are the impressions that needs to be completely stuck in our mind, for me anyway. He is my master, my leader, my head. He has me in the palm of His hand and can never be plucked out. 10:29, John. His word assures me that I will never be abandoned. Hebrews 13:5. His word is alive, powerful, decisive, clear judgment in our thinking and understanding. Hebrews 12:4. So, I have submitted to Him and He is completely in charge of my life and declared that the Lord is my shepherd. Now, that is only Psalm 23:1a. The following this declaration, David concludes the verse by submitting. And then he says, "I shall not want." The word "I shall not want," there is a sense of a decision that one makes. It's not about I'm enforced into this, as a result of it I'm going to do this, it is, I shall not want. So stop to consider how the Spirit of God is directing David's thinking here. David is clearly saying, when I have the Lord as my shepherd, which everybody will say, yes, I need not worry or strive of anything. But, you know, to come down to the state that I shall not want is a decision. So he says, it's interesting how Jehovah is named as Jehovah Jireh. Is that the Lord will provide. Isn't it? You know, from Genesis 22:14, when Isaac inquired where the sacrifice was coming from, and Abraham replied, he will provide the sacrifice. That is the total dependence on our Lord. He will provide. That's the point where David was, is able to say, I shall not want. He will provide. You know, in our New Testament, we can go to this verse always, where Paul says in Philippians 4:19, absolutely correct. You see, my God shall supply all your need. That is all your want, all your desire, all your requirement. But his need, it's not needs. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Throughout the Bible, we can see the hand of God from all trivialities to major aspects of our life. In fact, we can stop here with this message and say, the mighty God is sufficient for me. I do not need anything else. He's all I need. So in reality, we may say David has been focused on the Lord being his shepherd. His mind refuses to see the distractions of the world around him at that point. And he's writing this, it is not so much of what I want or need to satisfy my soul or spirit or even my body. Rather, not be distracted by lust at all. As I mentioned earlier, when he was writing this psalm, his thinking process was all directed to the Lord. He was completely engrossed on that very thought. Realistically speaking though, could we find ourselves in these sort of positions? Could we find ourselves in this position? More so to let me challenge you to consider, how often can one recall being in such a state? Because we are enriched here on a Sunday by our fellow brothers and sisters encouraged. When you are in the position of your own home, work, places, can we focus on Him at this level? Have you been so absorbed that you can, like David, you can only think Christ and Christ alone? The sense that the Holy Spirit has complete control of our thoughts, our actions, our words. Only every individual can answer this. I'm not saying that we can be at this level, but it is being aware, being sensitive, realizing He is in complete control of us. But David goes on to assure his dependency on the next verse. Now we are moving on to 23:2. Verse 23:2a, I put it, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Before I discuss this verse, let me offer you an observation by... It's interesting, I was reading this book. I'm sure some of you have already read this. A Christian writer, Philip Keller, that's right, I knew, Chris, you would know this, from Canada, about his sheep. It's an absolutely very good book, and he writes on Psalm 23, actually. And he talks about the sheep's behavior. He said, the sheep will not lie down unless they are free from all fears. Interesting, isn't it? He says, free from all friction within the herd. So there's tension in there. He would not lie down easy either, it seems. He was a farmer, so he's taking from his experience. Free from torments like flies and pests and parasites. They cannot relax. They need to be free from hunger. And they need not be looking for food. What will a sheep do when it's looking for food? It wanders away. And he was saying all this. I thought that was a very good picture of that sheep. This is how the sheep is confronted as required for it to be confident that the need is met. So Philip Keller raised a very good points here. The green pastures depicts this picture of contentment, isn't it? In the shepherd, the sheep is content with the shepherd where he is placed in these green pastures. Our contentment can only be in Christ when our soul and spirit is fed well in the Word. And I'm not going to talk about the spirit and the soul today. But that's what it is when it is completely contented with His Word. We are drawn into this sense of contentment. There is no compulsion or force, rather free from anxiety, tension, dependent only on His provision. These things don't just happen, folks. This just doesn't happen. Having said all that, we cannot predict what is ahead of us, the scorching sun, the stormy weather, and the roaring lion, which could arrive from the left field. And it is during this period our confidence in our shepherd is tested to remain on course, trusting only in Him. That is the power emitted by our Lord, not from us. It is He who meets us by our Lord, drawing us unto Him. This is what happens. So when we look at Psalm 23, second A, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. That is the contentment. That is the assurance. That is the confidence we have in God, in Christ. Continuing on 2B, He leadeth me beside still waters. This is very interesting. The shepherd leads here. Again, besides these very important waters that are not polluted, they are not polluted, they need to be clean, which is necessary for the good health and vitality. That's true. As we all know, it is impossible for us to live without water. I'm not making a profound statement here. Likewise, the sheep, living beings need water for existence. David is clearly saying, our Lord, the master of our life, will sustain us and lead us to these refreshing waters that will give us what? Pleasure and contentment. You know. In fact, one of the observations by a shepherd says, you know, says that there was this fast running water. But what he had to do, he had to put a dam onto this running water. Because the sheep would have been agitated, even with this fast running water. So from that standpoint, he made the still waters, isn't it? You see how important that was. It's quite amazing how that picture that you can derive from as David looks at all these things in such detail. So he had to temporarily damp the water to provide the level of security. So I looked at in Judges 6:24, Gideon says, what? The Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom. That is the word related. That's the kind of God we have. You know, still waters, security, a peace that's given into us. It comes from Him, not from us. I always look at the contrast as well. On the other hand, it will be remiss if I did not note that in contrast, when there is thirst that is not quenched, leads to agitation, right? Dissatisfaction, driving the sheep, looking for the comfort elsewhere. That's what the sheep would do. Anybody would do, I suppose. Looking for water that might be polluted, leading to all sorts of ill health, both physically and emotionally. This is what our humanity is, with our humanity, which seek to find pleasure, gratification, and fulfillment for their soul in the wrong places, because we want to satisfy these things. We can easily see this today in our society, where good, well-meaning people are looking to find ways to help these wandering souls. That's what is actually happening in this secular society we live in. We'll find ways to sort these problems out. Not by the word of God at all, but some good secular ways. Look, I came from a health field, so I know all about this, so I'm not going there. But I'm saying that's what it is. We are throwing lots and lots and lots of resources into that. But that's for another story. And it's, you know, do not read anything into this, like government social programs and projects and all that. I'm going to skip that, actually. But what is important is, there are so many people in their desperation wanting to find solutions. And that's what it is. From our ever-broken society. And we are trying to come up with ways to develop solutions from within. It drew me to this verse here in Jeremiah 2:13. I'll just read that. It is about the broken systems. You know, I thought that's quite true. In Jeremiah 2:13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Sure, this passage was related to God's people who deserted the Lord after they had promised to follow Him. They deserted Him. The point I like to illustrate here is, when one is thirsty and receive their refreshing, thirst-quenching water, it is good at the time. So good. So refreshing. But when circumstances and issues rises, anxiety increases, which we all can relate to. Anxiety increases. The eyes wanders, looking for quick fixes from the broken cisterns, and can hold no water, and leads to further anxieties, self-perpetuating problems. We are to remember that our Lord, the shepherd who leads us, will continue to sustain and care, even when things look so very grim. The sheep knows his master, and the master knows his sheep by name. Trusting in him at all costs matters, folks. Do I have a formula for this? No. I have no formula.
None of us have formulas for this. The only answer is the Word of God, if that's the, where the answer is. Our assurance is He leads us beside still waters always. There is no fear, no anxiety. So if it is our thinking the problem, I suggest we study these verses and make sure it is written in our heart. I've got a few verses here. I think these verses had helped me, especially this one, 2 Timothy 1:7. Because really, when you are faced in situations and circumstances out there, when anxiety rises, when things really grips your heart, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love," and hear this, "of a sound mind." What is this sound mind? This is the clarity of our thinking. The sound mind is not all over the place. We are not all very anxious and running around. It gives us clarity. It is so important, the state of our mind at that point. And that's what He has given us. Not taken up with every wind of doctrine. Not looking for solutions in that broken systems. Which takes us to the next verse for encouragement. Ephesians 4:23. What is that? Be renewed. It's like, you know, the word renewed, I was looking at that word, be renewed. It is like a fresh new baby. I know it's a very strange analogy, but it is fresh, isn't it? A baby is all fresh and new. That is the, if you can relate to that, it's like a new baby. In the spirit of your mind. So look at that. That mind is all so fresh. And obviously the most popular verses that we go to is Romans 12:1-2. But here he is actually saying that be transformed completely, changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in a sense, all I'm saying there is that our mind has got to be in the Lord completely, wholeheartedly, for us to really be so confident in this psalm. All these verses are directing to our thinking, which informs so much of our life, for simple things like, should I get out of bed this morning? That has consequences to others. Do I have consequences when I get out this morning? And so on. From that level, because there is an impact that every time you get out of that bed this in the morning, there is an impact on somebody else. Our mind has got to be the Lord. So, in conclusion, I like to say, and I desire that we are able to say, He is my master, my leader, my head. He has me in the palm of His hand and can never be plucked out. His word assures me that I will never be abandoned. In us, His word is alive, powerful and decisive. So, my submitted, surrendered, yielded life assures me it is Jesus that matters, not me. He is completely in charge of my life. And declare this, In total submission, I say, the Lord is my shepherd. In total yielding, I say, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. In total surrender, I'll say, I shall not want. So, may our Lord give you this profound thought in every aspect of your life this week as you go from here. Let's pray.